Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, I had the Texans before the season. 11-6 was my prediction. I had them at 6-2 after the first 8 games. Now, I'd have to go back and see if I had the right 2 games that they lost. I'm sure I didn't have them losing to Minnesota before the season, because Minnesota was not thought to be what they've been for the first half of this year. But Texans are 6-2, 8 games in, and we'll see how the second half plays out. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday, Seth. How do you feel about where your team is at the halfway point?
I'm excited about where our team is. I mean, to be sitting here right now, 6-2, we're excited about where we are. As you mentioned, a lot of ball ahead of us, but we talked about starting fast, and we've started fast. Our team has found a way to win in different fashion, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, different areas of our team stepped up and made plays to help us win games. So I'm excited with where we are and excited with where we're going, and we continue to build the right way.
Okay. So 6-2. I'm excited about 6-2 as well. I think at the halfway point, you go, okay, they played in a lot of one-score games. Could very easily be very different than 6-2 if the ball bounced differently in several of these games. How do we feel about the things that have been keeping them from being a more aesthetically pleasing 6-2?
Right.
How do we feel about those things getting fixed?
Honestly, I don't want to make it as simple as addition by subtraction or anything else like that. I do think there is some merit to the idea that without Stephon Diggs, then it becomes that much more heightened for CJ and everybody else to understand, and Bobby Slowick to understand, that the hopes and the dreams that you're praying for are not always downfield, that the check down is your friend, that getting the ball to the hot route when you're getting blitzed, that's one way to get the blitz off of you. You've got protection issues. There's things that you can do to scare some teams off of the blitz, including just getting those, okay, you're going to blitz, we're going to get a steady diet of 5 and 10 yard throws, except that every now and then, because you're blitzing, some of those are going to break free.
Yeah.
And because you don't have safety help on the backside.
Yep.
So in some ways they might be a smoother offense without Stephon Diggs, and I'm not blaming Stephon Diggs for it or anything. But then when Nico Collins comes back, obviously that has a whole different element to it.
No doubt. The one big thing coming into the year, one of the big things, was we've not yet seen Bobby Slowick put together a competent, consistent running game, like a competent, consistent NFL running game.
Yeah.
And it's strange because they've got a running back who's having an incredible year when he's healthy. When Joe Mixon's been out there, he's been really, really good. They're better running the football. Do you feel like their running game that they have right now is more they've got Joe Mixon on the team and they're running the ball, or they've actually started to put together a competent run game?
I'm torn, because I thought versus the Packers and the Patriots, all right, you know, the Patriots especially, you look at it and you think, okay, well, those are some impressive numbers they put up, but it wasn't consistent. They weren't really churning out positive yardage
big
consistently.
Chunk plays.
Yeah, it didn't feel like something you could really depend on, especially maybe versus better teams. And then the Colts, I'm torn because, all right, we've seen this before against the Colts. I think the Colts just aren't that team that's going to test your run offense or your ability to run the ball. So I feel better about the fact that Joe Mixon is out there. But no, I'm not 100% convinced that they've really figured it out in the run game.
Yeah.
I thought there were more elements and more instances where the entire offensive line was blocking well at times in the run game the other day. I don't know if the Colts were the test.
Joe Mixon, by the way, mic'd up. I watched it. Really good. It's about 8 minutes. It's excellent. He's really good. Some mic'd up guys are better than others. Like, a lot of mic'd up are just guys going,
Lots of grunting and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of grunting. Joe Mixon, there's a fair amount of grunting in Joe Mixon's mic'd up, but he's pretty funny and he's pretty good and he's very vocal on the sidelines too. He's walking around the guys talking. I'm assuming that's what he's like most of the time. You know, you never know.
You don't think he's just doing it for the airtime?
I don't. I think there probably are some guys that realize they're mic'd up for the game and maybe, you know, handle things. But I sense that Joe is like that all the time.
There's always a guy who's a media darling but who's actually annoying because he talks too much. And those guys, when they're mic'd up, it's probably super annoying to everybody else on the team.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, great. Now he's mic'd up, so we're going to get the extra version of this dude. Awesome. Great.
Here's
used to call, well, now Ray Lewis obviously was a good player who could say whatever the hell he wanted, but they used to call him Red Light Ray.
Yeah.
Which is that if he was on the sideline and he saw that one of the cameras had the red light on, which meant that that's the active camera.
Yeah.
He'd go into super Ray Lewis motivational mode. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He knew how to play it. He was a showman.
Even the pregame speeches and stuff. If you talked to a few of the Ravens from back then, you know. It's
like, yeah, they were kind of like,
it's cool, Ray.
I always wonder about that with the pregame speech too, because on any football team, whenever somebody's given a speech, there's usually like a hardcore diehards right at the nucleus of it.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's some guys out on the periphery who are kind of like taking care. I'm doing, this is what the team's doing, but I'm thinking about what I got to think about. With the guys like Jameis Winston, there's at least a few guys who are in the front row of the pep talk who know they're going to get on camera. You know, they're like, yeah, I'm going to really play it up. I'm going to just, yeah, Jameis, yeah.
And on that one Jameis one where he eats a W, those guys who got the front row for that clown show are so mad because the one guy getting attention was, who was it? It was DeSean Jackson. It was like standing five rows behind everybody with this look on his face like, what am I watching right now?
Oh, no, the EW, he was right there. He was
was he? Okay.
Yeah. That's what I think, because you could
I thought he was kind of in the back a little bit.
In my mind, you know what? That's in my mind. Yeah. So we'll fact check that.
Yeah. But it was it was funny. Here was C.J. Stroud. This is where C.J. Stroud feels like the Texans are at the halfway point.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a goal we had was to start fast. And, you know, I believe that, you know, we've been putting on some good ball, but we have a lot to still clean up. And, you know, it's just exciting times. You know, it's coming into the two hardest months of ball, you know, November and December. You know, we get to in October on a prime time game, and, you know, it's going to be a great matchup against the Jets. And, you know, we got to be able to be ready and try to finish October the right way.
These next few weeks are going to be something like the, like Houston, forget about the team. Like, I can't remember a stretch of football over these next few weeks that I've experienced as a Texan media member or fan where you've got a Thursday night, a Sunday night, and a Monday night game, boom, 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 all in a row, and they're all against teams. Like, there's no mid-team on here. You know what I mean? Like, the Jets are 2-6. I'm talking about marquee value. I'm talking about marquee value. Like, you're going to New York to play the Jets. That game's going to have a lot of eyeballs on it, for sure. You come back, you're then playing at home on Sunday Night Football against a team that a lot of people think is the best team in football right now. The Detroit Lions are at the top of a lot of people's power rankings, and they're a team that I think is, in a lot of people's minds, they're as close to kind of like a clear-cut favorite in the NFC as you can find. And then again, I know the Cowboys suck, but you're going up to play the Cowboys, who you play once every 4 years by rule, other than maybe a rando 17th game here and there. And that's what this is, actually. This is a rando 17th game. That the Cowboys are your extra game this year. You're playing the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. And so going into the season, I could ballpark the first 8 games, Seth, at 6-2, which I did. I looked at the last 6, which is all division games and the weird Christmas Chiefs Ravens thing, which I don't feel good about playing the Chiefs and Ravens right now, regardless of the date and the amount of time in between the games. So I looked at those last 6. I'm like, it feels like 3-3. These 3 games, I had no idea what to think before the season, and now that the Jets are bad, or at least have a bad record, and the Cowboys are kind of teetering a little bit right now, I still don't know how to feel about these 3 games because the schedule's so weird.
The Lions game is going to be the one that I think people are probably looking at and just thinking and wondering, all right, is this where, don't let this be like the trip up to the Patriots in 2012, where, okay, this is, all right, this is the real, this is what we should expect. This is not the team that we were hoping they were based on their record.
Yeah.
The Texans went up to the Patriots in the infamous Letterman jacket game and just got thoroughly drubbed and showed that they weren't in the same class. I think that nothing the Texans do against the Jets is going to make people feel differently about that. You know, you could win by 21. There's still going to be people that are nervous about that, especially given that a team in the Minnesota Vikings, which they've fallen from grace and sweetheart status as of late, but they're still above the Texans in most power rankings. They're like, you got drubbed by the Vikings. The one outlier is that you did. You took care of business against the Bills.
Yeah.
And the Bills. The Bills now, though, they didn't have Khalil Shakir, and now they have Amari Cooper. So what exactly is this version of the Bills versus the one the Texans played? But on the sum total of it, look, they've had one good game against one of the best teams in the league, and the Bills, they've had one really bad game against the Vikings. I think that Lions game is the stamp of authenticity on exactly what this Texans team is.
You nailed it. You nailed it. I think that's exactly that's what that Lions – not to get ahead of this game tomorrow, but I think –
I'm looking ahead.
No,
Sean.
No, I was me that
trap
did this
game for radio hosts.
It was me that did this. So I'm just saying, like I get it. There's a game tomorrow, but look, I would stress the importance of this game tomorrow. I think the Lions game factors into that. I don't feel great about playing the Lions until I know Nico Collins is back for that game. I really don't feel great about playing the Lions. The Lions are playing some incredible football right now. You lose this game to the Jets, and you're staring 6-4 in the face. You know, And the Colts just made a change at quarterback that makes them a whole lot more likely to be 6-4 in a couple games as well than playing Anthony Richardson for the rest of the year.
I think the coaches and players feel the same way that most Texans fans do if they're being honest with themselves, which is I really like a lot of things that the Texans are doing, but they do need to take another step. Like there needs to be a step forward offensively to be genuinely good and genuinely threatening. And a lot of that might just be fixed by a better left guard. Some of that is going to have to come from the offense in total, and C.J. Stroud included, and Bobby Slowick in distributing the ball more evenly.
Yeah.
And that becomes there's no choice about it now. You've got to distribute the ball evenly, especially without Nico Collins. But then with Nico coming back for that Lions game, that's where it gets super, super exciting.
Yeah, it gets fun.
If it works out that he comes back for that game completely healthy, I hope his hamstrings felt great for three straight weeks, then you're pretty much fully loaded with the team that you could conceivably have in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, if you get a win this Thursday, that means you went 3-1 in the three games without Nico Collins. And if somebody told me that before, if somebody told me that the day he went on IR, hey, you can sign this piece of paper and you're going to be 3-1 in these four games, I would have taken that.
And that you didn't have, Stephon Diggs for 1.5 of those games.
Correct.
Well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's a big part of it.
No doubt.
Of it.
No doubt.